Praise God. Let's just take a minute, give Him praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mighty acts, for your ever-present help in our times of need, Lord. Thank you that you walk with us, Lord. You never leave us. You never forsake us. We can't be separated from your love, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing, what you have done, what you're going to do. We praise you and thank you. Love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many are ready to give Him His tithes and our offerings? Hallelujah. It's a joy to give to the Lord. His blessings are so tremendous. And they're manifold. They're manifold blessings. And the more we have an open heart, the more we give with hilarity, no matter what it is. Not just money, time and effort and our lives to Him. The more the blessings flow, they overtake us. Amen? They run us down and overtake us. So Harry, if you'll come, bow your heads with us if you will, please.
Father, thank you. It is a pleasure to give.
Yes.
It's a joy to give. Because we receive from you so often, so much.
Yes.
Each day. Our provisions are never ending. Your blessings, Father, are Jesus, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we receive all that.
Yes.
Make us more aware of what we need to do, Father. Bless us with your presence each day, that we may be more aware of you. Lord, I know that this is something that is very dear in my heart, that I walk with Jesus moment by moment. And that is more than what we ever expected. It's more than I expected in my life. But what a joy it is.
Yes.
We give to you, Father. We give to the church. We give that with theirs so that there are provisions for others, that the word will be going forth throughout the world. And we thank you, Lord, that you show us what to do, how to do it, and when to do it, when to speak and when to be quiet.
Amen.
And for all these things, Lord, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My precious children, you struggle with the things you see, with the things that surround the circumstances, the shortcomings in your life and the life of others. Understand that I am and I always have been and I always will be with you. And that I've told you. And now it's time to really believe that my thoughts and plans for you are for good, not for evil. To prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a hope and a future in me. No matter what you see, no matter what the circumstances, know that I am working in you and through you. And that I am perfecting what I have begun in you. I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, in turn, rest in me. Trust me. Let your confession be the things that I've told you in your word. Don't get caught up in the cares of this life, the circumstances, the shortcomings, the attacks of the enemy. All they do is distract you from the word and distract you from me and the victory that I've already placed in your life. Let go. Lose yourself in me. And I will show you things and give you freedom you've never known. Attacks, circumstances are but for a season to steal my word from you. But remember, the enemy is a liar. Those attacks, those circumstances, those things are lies. I've set you free and you are now free indeed. Now rest, live, and walk in it. in me that you can have rest. It's in me that you can live and move and have your being, says the Lord. Trust me. Look to me. I am the author, the provider, the perfecter of your faith, and the finisher of the same, bringing it into fruition. Trust in me, says the Lord. Let all the things of this earth flow away as you keep your eyes on me. And you will see there's not one thing that I have not missed that concerns you, from the smallest, most minute detail to the greatest thing that's important to you. It's important to me because I love you. I've given my all for you. Now, just let yourself go in me. Trust me. And see and begin to experience in a new way the things that I have provided for you and that I have set before you and that I desire for you, says the Lord. Be free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teach us to see what you see, Lord. Teach us to hear what you hear and to know what you know, Lord. We just release ourselves to you. We surrender to you. We surrender to you this morning, Lord. Once again, we ask you to have your way and your will in this place, in each of our lives, Lord. And we all determine to surrender and give you all this morning. All of us. Nothing reserved, nothing left. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. That was a good admonishment this morning that Harry gave. It's so easy in the distractions and the things that happen in life, the attacks that come, to forget that he sees all and he knows all. And to turn our faces, if you will, from him. When it's just so simple to say, Lord, I cast my care on you and walk away. If you've made me not practice that as much as you should, today's a new day. Let's move on and start practicing it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. God was directing me to speak about faith this morning. But I want to say something maybe you're already aware, but maybe this will bring new light, new life to what you know. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now I meditated and I thought about that spray we're encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, that's not just witnesses in the area of family of God, but that's witnesses in the public area, in the people who don't know God. They're witnessing, they're watching, they're looking for the example that flows through your life and that shines through you as you live for God, as you live for Christ. And Christ lives His life through you. You and I, we're never going to save the world, but Christ in us is the one who has the words of salvation, the words of life. And those words can shine through us both, not just in our words, which is what I think is the lesser of the two, but in our lifestyle, in what we live and what we believe. And it shows in our conduct in everyday life. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. Where are we supposed to be looking? Unto Jesus. Why? Because again, He is the author or the perfecter and the provider and the finisher, bringing into perfection our faith. He gave it. He said He gives to every man the measure of faith. I'll give you that scripture here in a few minutes. He says without faith we can't please Him. But He's given us what He says and put it in our lives as we receive Him. to please Him. So all we got to do is act on it, walk on it. Amen? Too difficult, huh? Who for the joy, listen carefully, He did it for the joy that was set before Him. Do you realize that you are the joy that was set before Him? You are the reason, you and I are the reasons that God did what He did, why He gave the measure of faith, why He gave His Son. You and I are the reason. We are the joy that was set before Him. The reward. The church of Christ, the bride of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's why He endured the cross. Despising the shame. Not you and I, but despising the shame. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now there are at least three areas. Well, first let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Hallelujah. For I say, through the grace of God given to me, to everyone who is among you, everyone who is among you, do you want to be unafraid? Wait a minute, I'm reading the wrong scripture here. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So right there you see the confirmation that He's the one who's done it. He's the author and finisher, and He's the one who's dealt to us a measure of faith. And He's the one by the Holy Spirit, and by our determination, and by the walk we walk every day, that perfects that and brings that into perfection and causes it to grow in our lives so that we can operate more in more power, more authority. Not rejoicing over the fact that we have authority over devils, but that we have that power and that light that comes through us that provokes people to jealousy, causes them to look to God and ask the question of the hope that's within us. And then we can boldly give an answer of that hope. The only hope we have is in Jesus. Amen? Now there's two different points made in Matthew 13, 31 and 32. And Matthew 17, 20. We're going to read both. Again, in Mark 4, 31, I'll just give you these. You can write these down. In Mark 4, 31, the same thing. And Luke 13, 19. And Luke 17, 6. And our focus will be mainly on Luke 17, 6. But here's what Matthew 13, 31 and 32 say. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Hallelujah. That faith grows and brings shelter and safety to even the creatures, but especially to those who will come to that tree where faith is shown and exuded and lived and exercised in a life. Amen? Shelter and safety. Now, again in Mark 17:20, it's a little different. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say unto you, that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. What mountain? Any mountain that stands in your way. Any mountain of sickness, of disease, of fear, of torment. You can say to it, if you'll stand in faith and not doubt, believe it, and you can say to that mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. And once you do that, no matter what's still in front of you, you don't ever change your confession. You can hold fast, as the song said, to the confession which you've made. Amen? You never let it go. Remember that our lying eyes and our lying emotions and our lying ears will deceive us. What does your Bible say about the Word? What does the Bible say about the Lord? He never fails. The Word of God, when it's sent, it never fails. Just like love. And that's love. That's what we're talking about, God's love. Never fails. never becomes obsolete, never passes away. Amen? Hallelujah. That's good news. That's good news. Let's turn to Mark 4:31 and we'll see again. I think it's important that we understand that God wouldn't have had it in here three different times if it wasn't important to Him and it wasn't important to us. Mark chapter 4, verse 31. It's kind of a repeat of what we've already read, but that doesn't make any difference. It's still important. As I said, or He wouldn't have put it in there three times. Mark 4:31. Let's start in verse 30. Then He said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed which, when it is sown, is on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows greater. It grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air are may nest under its shade." I'm going to remember in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about not being concerned with things around us or what we're going to eat, that God is the one who supplies our need. And if He takes care of the birds, which He values because of their creation, how much more does He value you and I? And we have a part in that for people to find shelter and find rest and find safety and find the answers to the dilemmas in their life, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, spiritual, mental. Christ is the answer. The Word of God is the answer. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings insight and understanding. Can we all agree? Turn with me now to Luke chapter 4, verse 31. Or excuse me, 13, verse 19. And we'll move on after this. Verse 19 says, again, what is the kingdom of God like? In verse 18, and to what should we compare it? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree. And there was shelter for the birds. And they nested. They found safety. They found rest. They found protection in those branches. Amen? Just like we find safety in His outstretched arms. Those are the branches we nest in. Those are the things that we nest in the safety of His bosom. Hallelujah. And now 17:6 goes back and refers to what Matthew 17:20 says. Luke 17:6. So the Lord said, if you have faith, tiny faith. You know, it doesn't start out big. It doesn't start out enormous. But each step we take and each victory we have, your faith grows. You become more bold and you become more confident. And remember, God gave it to you. So what does that mean to you? It means to me that He cares. He gave us the tools. And now He's helping us to use those tools and walk in the victory that He's provided for us. Amen? If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, listen carefully, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It would obey you. Let the Holy Spirit minister your heart about the importance of that faith, of your faith, even small faith. Everything starts in a small beginning. The Bible says don't despise small beginnings. Amen? Great things come from small beginnings, right? How many can say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all know Hebrews 11:1, but I want to tell you what I think it really says here according to the translation from the Greek or the Hebrew. Let me just turn to that. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the confidence and the assurance to wit for salvation with joy and full confidence, and the proof and the conviction that's been tested, that's the word evidence, of things that says of the things that are being accomplished, what exists, the evidence of things not seen. Those things, the word seen means the word, the things discerned or seen by the fleshly eye. How many know just because you can't see it with your eye does not mean it's not real? The things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. The flesh will never comprehend them, will never get a hold of them from our flesh. It's It's impossible, the Bible says. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And literally, it's faith is the confidence, the assurance of the things for salvation with joy and full confidence. The evidence is the proof, conviction that's been tested, and of things not seen is those things being accomplished or what really exists, and seen is discerned or seen by the fleshly eye. In other words, it's not seen by the fleshly eye or discerned by the flesh. Can't be. Your flesh will never receive the things of God. Hebrews 11:6. God tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. And what else? That He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen? So He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's given to us the measure of faith. He's the one who's perfecting our faith. Our faith is the substance or the evidence, the assurance, the confidence of things we don't see, that we can't see with our naked eye or we can't discern with our naked eye or our hearing or our flesh, but they're real nonetheless. Amen? Everyone here can say amen to that. I know that. We've all experienced miracles. We're all experiencing miracles. And basically, we are a miracle in progress. Amen? I don't care what circumstances is. There's not one any better than the other. But the bigger the miracle and the bigger the response from God, the bigger the blessing from God, the more love, the more thanks, and the more praise we should have in our lives for Him. Amen? It doesn't negate anything else. But I'll tell you what. You know, to come back from the dead, if you've never understood being born again, you'll understand it after you have an experience like that. It'll change your life. Not that the other miracles don't change your life. We're not lessening anything that God does. If it's from God, it's a miracle and it's big, it's huge. And it shows His love toward us. Amen? But to be standing at the threshold of eternity and then to come back, wow. To know that God cares enough about others and enough about you to say, I'm not finished with you, you've still got more to do. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. To Him be all the glory and the honor and the credit and the praise and the worship. Amen? Finally, in closing, God tells us what pleases Him, and then He gives us that very thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Not a long message, but I hope it was a direct message that touched hearts. I'm blessed because of it. I see things a little differently than I did before because of this. And I thank God. I thank God. You know, He's not done with any of us. Kathy, you've got so much more to do. Madonna, you've got so much more to do. Marie, there's no question. You, like myself, a miracle. Well, among the miracles that are already here, God's not done. And He's placed things in you that you're not even aware of yet. And because He's placed them there, He will accomplish, as we surrender to Him, as you and I surrender to Him, those things that He's already put in us for the benefit of the kingdom. Bob, praise the Lord. Man of God, growing, moving on like the rest of us. Hallelujah. Harry and Marie, Patrick and Donna, Bill, Elizabeth and Eric, what's her name? Celia, or I can't think of her name right now. Shanae, thank you. Thank you, Gene. The other gentleman who I've still not met, or his sons, you know, God doesn't start something He doesn't finish. Did you hear what I said? God does not start something He does not finish. The only way it won't get accomplished is if you or I walk away, or we don't understand the value of what's happening. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. I had a chance to sit down with my family last night. And unfortunately, like everything else, it's not that we don't appreciate things, but sometimes we don't appreciate them for their full value until they might not be there again, until we think we've lost them. And last night, my family, bless their hearts, out of care for me, came and sat down with me, and my son, once again in tears, thanking God that I'm still here. He was devastated. He was devastated because his heart, his eyes, spiritual eyes, are not fully fixed on Jesus. He knows he's there. He knows he's real. But he was devastated. And he realizes God's touched his heart. He realizes what a miracle it was. The first time I cored was that very day that I went in the hospital. They were walking in the door and they knew what room I was in, and he heard it. He collapsed right there in the lobby of the hospital, crying and sobbing, thinking he had just lost his dad. I'm here to tell you that God knew my son's heart. And he was part of the reason, not the only reason, but a part of the reason God spared my life. My daughter, too, one time came to me while I was in the hospital and said, "Dad, we're not ready to be without parents. We've already lost one." My daughter said to her husband, she says, "I've lost one parent. I'm not going to lose another." There's love there. They've seen love. They've been taught right by the hand of God and by His grace in my life. We need to value one another. And we need to value one another in such a respect and with such love that we realize today may be the last day we'll see one another. For whatever reason, whether God calls us home or through some calamity, Jesus says, "You've suffered enough. It's time to come home." Which is victory. It's victory. But we need to value one another and love one another the way God loves us. Amen. Laying our lives down for one another. People in the medical profession lay their lives down for others. And that's a humbling experience. But when someone who's had so many problems in their life, so much bitterness, so much anguish, so much hurt and pain, has an encounter with God, is up all night long, and God changes that life or begins a new work in that life, and they humble themselves, they repent, make it right with their own father, make it right with their father-in-law, and then say, make a commitment, "I'll take care of you until you get well again, until the full manifestation is there." That's a humbling experience. And only God, through His love, can do that in a person's life. Even someone who, from all intents and purposes and from all the outward exterior appearances, doesn't get it at all, God's there. He steps on the scene. He changes hearts, just like He changed yours and mine. Amen, Harry? And He's the one, if I can just use this old phrase, who makes silk purses out of old sow's ears. He puts out a finished product. Not a half-completed product, but a finished product. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. Remember, He's the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. So every day is another day to step higher in the Lord, to walk in His glory, in His light, in His life. It's life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Life in Christ Jesus. And He's the only way and the only truth and the only life. And it's only in Him, as we said earlier, that we live and we move and we can have our being. Not according to what we want, but according to what He wants. Doing it for the kingdom. Laying ourselves down. Laying our wants and desires. Not just being concerned with our own things, but concerned with the things of others. And that's real love. That's real commitment. And that's walking in the fullness of what God has demonstrated towards us and given us through Jesus' obedience to the cross and to the stripes that He bore in Isaiah 53:5 before the cross. Once again, the cross was the period at the end of a sentence, but the actual salvation came at the point when Jesus was taken into custody. Starting when he said, was in the garden, he said, "Lord, not my will. If this is possible not to happen, then Lord, great, but not what I want, what you want. It's not what I feel or what I desire, Lord, it's what you want. I'm here to obey you. I'm here to give you reverence, to do what you say, to act on what you say. Amen? And to build the kingdom." And that's how we come in His, we begin to be in His image and likeness by making the same determination in our lives. It's not about me, it's about others, Lord. It's about those who you love. You love me, but you love others too. And Lord, I want to be one who can reach out like Jesus did to me and touch the lives of others. I want to see them understand and feel and know what I know. Feel the exhilaration, the joy, the pleasure of standing with my hands upraised, giving you glory and honor and praise and worship, because you're worthy. You're worthy. You've shown yourself strong in my behalf so many times. Amen. All of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of standing here today, or sitting here, whichever. Being able to minister to your people, Lord. Having you, by the Holy Spirit, minister to me as you minister to them. I love you, Lord. And I thank you for this day. I thank you for my life in you and through you. I thank you that you're a giver and not a taker, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've entrusted and placed in my care, but they're yours, these people, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, that you'd reveal to them more every day how much I love them. But more than that, how much you love them, which is far beyond what I'm capable of. I thank you that your blessing rests upon these people, Lord. I thank you that you're working. And that faith that you've put in them, that you've given to them, you've administered to them, is growing, changing them and changing others. And that because of that, other people are touched, set free, delivered, and come into the saving knowledge of your Son Jesus. By your will, Lord, your will to draw people to you because you created us for fellowship with you. Thank you for not giving us what we deserve, but rendering us shameless and guiltless in you, Lord. For that, we all praise and thank you and give you praise and glory. We are eternally grateful. For all who agree, say amen. Hallelujah. If you need prayer this morning, we're here to pray. Yes, Harry, please come.
This morning I went over to see a neighbor. And he was working in his backyard, and he's working on a lot of things. He's Eric's boss. He's the one who Eric works for. Anyways, I just walked into his backyard. I see what he's doing. I helped him yesterday with working on his deck. And this morning I thought, I'd just like to see how far he got last night and after I left him. And he's progressing quite a bit. And I walked in there, and I just said, "Hi, Adam, how you doing?" He says, "Well..." He said, "You just going to church, or you're coming from church?" I said, "I'm just going to church." And I told him, I said, "This looks good with what you're doing." And he looked at me, and it was like a heart cry. And he says, "Have a good time in church today." And it was a cry. I could hear it. He was wishing that he could go more often like I do. But he's got so much to do, so much work. It's all, It's all material. And I told him, I says, you better believe I'm going to have a good time. And I think that there's an opening here that I'm going to be talking to him about. And, you know, there are so many people in your neighborhood, so many people that are around you that are crying out for God because they are hurting. They need something. They know they need something, but they don't know how to ask. And I'm hearing openings. I'm seeing openings. I'm watching these people. And today, there's a couple that go to another church who are having their 50th anniversary. And I went to see him this morning. And I said, happy 50th. He's, oh, hey, all right. And I says, there's a problem. I says, we got a fellowship at the church. And I says, we got to be at your place. And he says, wait a minute. He says, you come to my house after you get finished with yours. That's what you have to do. And I know that there's going to be quite a few others are going to be there. The openings are there. Every time, if you hear people, if you listen, I went to the Ace Hardware yesterday. And as I was in that Ace Hardware store, the girl at the counter her name is Sarah, the girl that was doing the cashiering. And she was holding her head down and she was keeping her eyes open, closed, you know. And she said, if I keep my eyes closed, my head down, that won't hurt so much. And I knew she was going through a migraine. This girl was suffering, and yet she was smiling and working. And I saw two or three people, and I'm waiting in line. I'm going through the line. I got to her, and I said, Sarah, what's going on? Migraine? She says, yeah. She says, I don't get them often, but she says, I've got one now. And I says, you know, I says, I'm going to just touch you for a minute. I says, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And she opened her eyes, and she says, oh, God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. And she said a few other things, and I didn't want to repeat them, but they're just endearment. She has always been a good kid. She's always been a bright spot in that business, you know. But we need to do something more. Now I know that I've got an opening with Sarah. I've got an opening with Adam. I've got an opening with these other people. It's all there. All you got to do is just listen to it, watch it, and let the Lord lead as how he goes through it. God bless you guys. And I thank you, Bill. God bless
Amen.
You.
Praise how many remember the old song that prayer is the key to heaven, but it's faith that unlocks that door? Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I want to add to what Harry said there because we were at the country buffet and we had a similar situation where the lady there at the counter, man, she kind of looked like she was in pain. So Donna asked her, how are you doing? And she said, no, I'm hurting. And so I asked her, well, can we pray for you? The same kind of deal. There's a few people in line behind us, so we just waited there. And after they got done, she came around and we prayed for her, and she was so thankful. So it's just like Harry says, you know, we'll look for those opportunities because they're there.
Amen. Amen. That song goes on to say, you know, prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. It says words are so easily spoken, but words or prayers without faith is like a boat without an oar. Amen. What delivers us, what sets us free, what causes victory in our life is prayer with faith that God's already given us. And He is the one who says, I'm a co-laborer with you, and I've begun a good work in you, and I will finish that work. I'll continue to work until the day my son returns. Amen. I wish I could sing that for you. I don't remember it well enough. Just those few words that I gave you, God reminded me of the last part about the boat without the oar. But that's what it's all about. You know? And as we pray, that's a demonstration of faith in us. As we pray for people, you know, there were things going on in the hospital. And I didn't hesitate. I didn't care who they were. I didn't care whether they had like precious faith or not. There was a need. And immediately I'd go to prayer. And I never had one of them not say thank you. Never had one of them not say thank you. Somebody cared. Somebody demonstrated God's love. Amen. Amen. And you know, here I was, probably, if you look at it from the natural eye, the least person in the world who you'd expect to get something good out of laying there in that bed for all those months with all the stuff going on. And yet Christ, the Anointed One, with His anointing, the was in me and was sensitive to the things that were going on around me, the people that were around me, those who were believers and those who weren't. And what a thrill. And while I say this in jest, it's the truth. You know, God's even in the hospital. Not a fun place to be for you or others. I mean, for the people who work there, they get rewards, you know, from caring for others and for laying their lives down for others. But the point is that, I mean, God's there. And what a place. What better place to see miracles happen. To see God's hand move. Set captives free. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Does anybody need prayer? Father, right now then, we thank You for this time. We dismiss. Father, we sanctify this food by Your word and this prayer. Bless those that were able to be a part of this as far as the provision. We thank You, Lord, that You are the provider. You supply all of our needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Lord, we give You praise today, and we thank You for this time of fellowship with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.